thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
Yeah, you're listening to the Urban Sports Scene. I'm Wally. I'm here with Will T. Ray, what's going on, folks?
What's happening?
What's going on, man? How you feeling?
You know it's a sad day, bro. Will T, we talked about this before the break. You know it's a sad day.
Before the break.
Huh?
Julio. Yeah, I had a break, yeah. R.I.P. Julio. Well,
Huh?
Before the show started.
I said yeah, before the show. Oh, I said before the
show
started.
Yeah, you
said about. Oh, well, you know what I mean. Sorry, before the show started.
Yeah, R.I.P. Julio, man.
It's that boy.
Yeah, Julio, man.
Folks, we lost a real one.
He went out like a G.
He did go out like a G.
For those who don't know what we're referring to, this past Sunday's episode of Power, which I was highly disappointed in the way it ended.
I hate Dre. Somebody needs to kill Dre like right now. Tommy's gonna
kill him next week.
I hope so. Dre gonna get killed.
But it should be by Tommy though. I think it should definitely be by Tommy.
Might be Tommy, might be Ghost, might be Kanan. I mean, all three of them might converge on him.
Who would do him right though? I mean, in terms of like the most nastiest, like evilest killer.
Ghost.
Because
Ghost employed you.
Oh, okay.
Well, Ghost doesn't even know that Kanan kidnapped his son the first time,
yeah,
right? Because mm-hmm. he was in jail.
Mm-hmm.
But then, you know, you brought Kanan. You was working with Kanan, even though you know that we were enemies. And then, you know, Kanan and Jukebox kidnapped my son. But even though Kanan flipped and switched around, that whole episode, it was the worst episode ever.
Jukebox just seemed evil. She's seeing like Satan. Her mentality.
I wouldn't go that far.
You didn't think that?
I mean, she just went hard for what she wanted.
She ain't no Chris and Snoop. You know, she was acting, and that's
she
knows.
I mean, no one, no woman will ever be as Snoop. Exactly. Vicious as Snoop.
You know, they kill you, then they nail your body up. Nobody finds you, man.
Yeah.
They walk you to your death. Remember they killed the big dude? He's like, I want a homegoing service. Come on, man. He just wanted a funeral. Real people do real things.
Oh, my man. Will T.
Let's get into our tradition, the pregame.
We're going to talk about the Washington Redskins training camp at 8:20, the Nationals acquiring Twins closer Brandon Kinsler at the MLB trade deadline. At 8:30, the Baltimore Orioles becoming buyers at the trade deadline. At 8:40, Adrian Broner losing to Mikey Garcia over the weekend. And at 8:50, in our, I'm going to call it our What's Beef segment now.
What's Beef?
Because, yeah, I want to play that drop, you know what I mean, with Biggie. So I'm going to call it What's Beef.
Do what makes you happy,
Jack's
man.
Jack's diss track on LeVar Ball. You heard it? You hear it?
I had no desire to listen to it.
Oh, my God. It's real, son.
I had no desire to listen to it at all. No concern. Didn't even care about it.
Well, anyway, I'm going to play on the show anyway. I'm going to play it. It's going to be hot fire. It's hot fire, man. Like Dylan. Hot fire. Spit bars, son.
Okay.
Anyway, first, the Redskins training camp. It's been interesting training camp. Sua Cravens has been moved to safety. Can you see Sua Craven becoming a Pro Bowl safety?
I mean, I can imagine anything, but will it happen is another thing. I don't think. No, I'm just being honest with you. I don't think we can fairly assess or evaluate any of the players because they aren't in pads. It's not live. It's not live hitting, and it's not against competition. You know, it's how you perform in practice and how you perform when the lights are on are two different things. But since we're in imaginary land and hypotheticals, I'll play along. I think Sua Cravens, he has the ability to, especially if you put him in the box, you don't ask him to be, you know, like rest in peace like Sean Taylor, but if you put him in the box and you ask him to play like Cam Chancellor, yeah, I think he has a chance to be a Pro Bowler.
Do you think go ahead, Ray. Sorry.
I just think he's so good in coverage. As a linebacker, he was developing him probably into one of the best covering linebackers in the NFC. So you give him more space to safety. I think the sky's the limit.
Well, I think this is the thing. I think DJ Swearinger is actually a better free safety, has better range than Sua Cravens.
He's going to be the free safety, though.
Yeah, I think he has better range than – I think – well, he's proven in the NFL at this level – that he has better range mm-hmm. thus far than Sua Cravens. So I think you kind of build on Sua Cravens' skill set.
Yeah.
Don't ask him to do too much. Nice. Maybe cover the tight end. Ask him to cover maybe half of the field or a third of the field or mm-hmm. come down towards the line of scrimmage. And then, you know, as he progresses, then maybe you transition him to the rangy free safety that's everywhere like an Earl Thomas.
I just think right now he's playing the right position, a strong safety. I'm with you, though, Will T, that Swearinger has more range at this point in time. He understands the position more. What I do like about Sue Craven, I'm going to call him right now off with a short sample size, only because he was playing linebacker last year. I like his energy like a Troy Polamalu. Not to say he's going to be Troy, because I'm not saying he's going to be Troy, but he has the energy. He's always around. He has sideline to sideline speed. He likes to mix it up. And to me, he's a playmaker. And like Ray said, in coverage, I think covering like a tight end, running backs out the backfield, that's something he can thrive on. I'm not going to say like, yeah, he has the range enough or the skill set enough to be with wide receivers. But I think, to me, in my opinion, against a tight end and running back, he can make plays. We saw last year in that Giants game when he made that big interception.
Yeah.
Like, that's a playmaker. That's a play. He has a playmaking mentality. And we saw that even in preseason and a little bit in the regular season.
I read that with him in strong safety, the possibility of moving Rashad Breeland to free safety is still out there.
He was drafted, to be honest with you, he was drafted to be a safety down the road.
That could be a game changer.
Yeah, he wasn't meant to be a cornerback.
But who do you put as the second cornerback then?
Let's be honest. Like, Breeland's on this is last year in this deal, so he may not be here. But if that did happen, they still like Fuller. They said Fuller's having a good camp.
What?
Fuller's having a good camp.
Fuller showed you nothing as the
name. No, I'm just saying in terms of, you know, the reports, Fuller is having a good camp.
We need to make a trip down there so we don't have to rely on people's reports.
That's true.
Yeah, because to be honest with you, based on my experience, all of us have been to a professional football training camp.
Yeah.
You guys went to Eagles training camp one year.
Yeah,
we've been to Washington. But don't a lot of people look good in training camp?
Honestly. Yeah, you have shorts and you have shells on. There's no pads on. Like I said, until you're going against live competition, that's how you can evaluate what you have. And
right.
Like,
I agree. Malcolm Kelly looked exceptional in training camp one year. And where is he? Kelly Malcolm
that was
is what they called
no,
him.
His injuries hurt
Changed
him. He was going to be a beast. I liked him Oklahoma.
Man, he couldn't run a fade route.
Because he couldn't.
Devin Thomas.
To run a fade route. Now I thought he was garbage off the bat, though. I did.
You thought he was what?
Garbage off the bat. I saw him Michigan State.
Aren't you like a Big Ten guy?
Yeah, I'm a Michigan
Big
fan.
Ten
right.
Football.
That's why I saw him play in Michigan State. He wowed in the combine. It wasn't like he was a killer at State. He was okay at State, but he wasn't a killer. Like, Malcolm Kelly was a killer in Oklahoma.
He was
totally
TJ
off subject.
Go ahead,
September 2nd. Florida State versus Alabama. Can't wait for that matchup.
Oh, that's really
September 2nd. Wait for that. Yep.
Is that where are they playing?
Texas.
Oh yeah, that's gonna be
gonna be a huge game.
That's hot game. They got that. They still got that quarterback, Florida State, right?
Yep.
The young boy,
Francois.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like
now,
that.
Now you mentioned Sean Taylor earlier. You think Sue Cravens can have that type of impact? Because Sean Taylor,
no.
He changed. No, dang on. I mean, he
shut it down.
I guess he's like a one of a generation type of guy.
Yeah, he's generational. So, he could cover, he could hit, he can come up and stop the run.
No,
he did everything.
What I meant by that was, yeah, not just a playmaker, but one that, like, kind of like Josh Norman was last year. He could actually win you a game just off his play.
I think he has the ability to be a Pro Bowl player. I do. I think Stewart.
If you give him the freedom, I think he potentially can.
Yeah,
but if you load him up with too many responsibilities. He has to think too much, especially this young in his career. Mm-hmm. He's bound to make
mistakes.
And
I think you have a good point, Will T. If you just let him play ball. Like, just say, hey, just play ball. Make a play. Do you. I think he'll be fine.
Well, preseason will show a lot. I want to see what the scheme's going to be. I'm interested to see how the Redskins' coaching philosophies will change this year. I don't know if Coach Gruden really touches the defense, though. He strikes me as a guy that really focuses just on offense, kind of like Jim Zorn did.
No, I mean, not only Jim Zorn, but Joe Gibbs years before. You know, Joe Gibbs historically, you know, it's a known fact that he let Richie Pettibone coach the defense.
Yeah, yeah.
He did. He was totally hands off with the defense.
Well, a lot of coaches are that way. Not all, but a lot
not
of
all.
Coaches,
I,
a lot
those
I mean,
who are more offensive minded, like Rex. No, I mean, like Rex Ryan will run the defense because that's his special.
Offense. He won't touch the offense.
Yeah, like Bill Belichick is one of the coaches that's involved with
everything. Yeah, totally.
Because
agree.
He's one of the better football minds, I guess.
Well, he's just something else. He's a mad scientist.
Yeah,
no, you
but I think Joe Gibbs was big on trust. So, you know, I trust my guys.
Okay, so also in terms of a guy who's having a good camp and everyone's talking about him is Josh Dotson, like wide receiver. Ray was talking about Malcolm Kelly, talking about how great he was in training.
Get on
camp.
The field.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, he was hurt
Get
all
on the
last
field.
Season. Can he be better than Pierre Garçon this season?
Yeah, because to me, the bar isn't
this
set
season?
That high.
Yeah, this season.
No.
No? Okay.
No, absolutely not. I'm going to let you finish your point. Go ahead.
We're talking about Pierre Garçon. Not Reggie Wayne, not Marvin Harrison. We're talking about Pierre Garçon. Why can't he be better than Pierre Garçon this season? Why not?
Well, Pierre Garçon was one of the leaders of your offense, for one. Two, Pierre Garçon could run any route on the route tree.
He's a great route runner.
But Pierre Garçon, he's an okay route runner.
Pierre Garçon,
I like
also
him as a route runner. I just think he's a great deep ball.
No, he wasn't and that's maybe where Dotson could be better. But this is the thing though, against zone, against, we don't know. Does Josh Dotson know to cut his, you know, against a zone? Do you cut your route, a 9-yard route? Do you cut it to 7 when you see the blitz? You know, when you see the safety over top, do you know how to set up the corner to get in between both of them? Does he go across the middle? You know, a lot of what I saw from Josh Dotson when he was at TCU was him going deep. Mm-hmm. Beating a guy over the top or jumping up and getting a jump ball. How is he going over the middle? Pierre did all of that. Plus, he was a very good run blocker for your run game.
Oh, he's tough and he breaks tackles. That's why I like Pierre Garçon. But as far as, you know, the amount of receptions he gets this season, the amount of big plays, mm-hmm. I think he can fill that DeSean Jackson / mm-hmm. Pierre Garçon role. Whereas you got Jameson Crowder over the middle and you got Jordan Reed. He don't need to go over the middle, in my opinion.
On Facebook, Gary stated that I don't think the Skins will miss a beat with Pryor and Dotson. We'll just be crying next year when Pryor leaves for free agency.
Well, see, this is the thing that people don't understand about Pryor.
Mm-hmm.
Pryor, you can
– good looking.
Well, Pryor's 6'5". He's probably the best. His girl.
Yeah,
I've never seen
her. Yeah,
I haven't seen her. But I think Terrell Pryor is going to have a great year, for one. And two, people are concerned about Terrell Pryor potentially leaving. You can always negotiate with Terrell Pryor during the season. It's not like he has the franchise tag designation. So if Terrell Pryor lights it up the first 5 weeks, what your bye week is the 5th week, right?
I don't have it on.
Well, yeah, I think it is the 5th week. Let's say if Terrell Pryor lights it up the first 4 weeks, you got that whole bye week to potentially negotiate a contract with him. So, I do think he probably will hit the free market if he has a great year. But, you know, if he starts to flash and he really likes playing in D.C. and he enjoys playing with Kirk Cousins, mm-hmm. you can always sign him long term.
Also on Twitter, Freakin' Leo says about the same question. He says, potentially, yes, Dotson's skill set should be easy, but no pressure. It should be easy for Dotson. Yeah, it should be easy for Dotson. I think Dotson – what I liked about Dotson and TCU, I call him a poor man's A.J. Green. Not as good as A.J. Green, but he's a poor man's A.J. Green. Ran good routes in TCU, can catch the deep ball, can catch the jump ball. I think he's more versatile to me as a receiver. If we're just going – because all we can go off of is his career in TCU because he only played –
Exactly.
I agree. We're just going off potential, right? That's what it is. I'm not even saying like it's like obviously it's like Randy Moss, Jake Reed, right? Jake Reed was really good in Minnesota, but we can go off potential that Randy Moss is gonna be better than Jake Reed, right?
Yeah.
So like here in this situation, Pierre Garçon, where he in his state right now, and granted he had a great year last year. He went over 1,000 yards with receiving yards, so he had a good year last year. He was a very productive wide receiver, but. Well, what I like about Dotson, he brings so much to the table red zone in terms of red zone target. We saw on TCU had great hands. So I just think potentially he could be. And then you add in Pryor, Jordan Reed, Vernon Davis, Crowder. He's going to get a lot of single coverage, right? So there's opportunities for him to show out just because the people around him.
I understand that, but he hasn't been able to stay healthy.
Yeah, very fair. That's very
good. You know,
he's got one of the top quarterbacks in the league.
Don't try to troll me.
Yeah, he does. He does have one of the top quarterbacks.
Don't try to troll me.
Statistics wise, the last two seasons, he's got one of the top guys.
Yeah, he has not just one of the top. He has the best quarterback in the history of this franchise.
Stats? You mean
from a stats perspective?
Okay, I was about to say. Okay, I thought you.
Yeah,
said,
I mean,
man.
It's not like he has Phillip Rivers or.
I'm not doing this. I am not doing this.
He's got a really good quarterback.
This is about Sue Cravens on Twitter. At RedLake44 said, "One step at a time. Let him play out the season first before anyone starts talking about Pro Bowl."
True, but this is
it's based on
this is a podcast.
Yeah.
It's a podcast, sports talk. Yeah. So of course. That's what you got to do, a sports talk. You know?
Yeah, exactly. But
you
it's
always imagine things.
But yeah, but it potentially, I think but he
least,
could be there.
At least we have, you know, something to work with, which that we've seen, you know.
We. You said, what do you, I mean, are you a fan of this Washington football team?
As the evaluators.
Okay, no, I just wanted you to be clear. Just be clear. I thought you were switching up. Be clear.
I'm just saying we're posing a question.
Why can't he change over?
I mean, how the Super Bowl ended, he might.
I'm not a
to.
Fan of the Washington football team, though.
No. Okay.
No,
I don't hate him either, though.
Look,
I'm
man.
Very constructive.
You can, it's okay to change over, man. It's okay. Anyway, you listen to Urban Sports Team, myself, Wally, Will T, and Ray. But why can he not support the team, man? I mean, what? Why?
No, I'm just asking.
Because you're an Eagles fan? That's why?
Well, like I said, I'm really not a full-blown Eagles fan like I used to be. No, I can't go back because I didn't like how the situation was handled. It says a lot about management in general, and I'm going to just leave it at that.
You're referring it to Riley Cooper?
Yeah.
Yeah, on the opposite side of the fence, there's some people still not happy about Michael Vick being signed. So, I mean, it's a tough fan base to be part of.
And they're upset.
And I don't want to be part of it. So stay over there. Stay over there on your side,
on
sir.
On a whole different topic, Virginia Tech is geeking about Michael Vick. He has people who are not. I think he's about to be in the VTech Hall of Fame, right?
As he should be.
And some people aren't happy with that. And I'm not going to add on it.
If OJ is still, you know, held at this certain standard, people still love OJ. They will line up to go see him even today. So even today, behind glass, they'll go see him. So if he can get love, why can't Mike?
All I want to say about this before we go to
it's
break.
It's about his football talent. OJ was a great runner.
Who would know Virginia Tech if it wasn't for Michael Vick?
Absolutely. Michael Vick put Virginia Tech football on the map.
Nah, I wouldn't say that. Frank Beamer.
Well, no, I mean, but think about it. Before Michael Vick, who was the player? Maybe Bruce Smith, but no one
really even talked about that.
No, you guys are absolutely right.
Anyway.
He put you on the map.
Right now, the Nationals are up 6-1 against the Marlins. They improved their bullpen. We'll talk about that after a break. You listen to the Urban Sports thing.
For ages.
You dig.
Deuces.
Back from break, you listen to Urban Sports Scene. I'm Wally, Will T, Ray. Before the break, we were talking about the Washington Nationals. They're up 6-1 against the Florida Marlins, or Miami Marlins. Excuse me, Miami Marlins. The Nationals traded left-hand prospect and cash to get Twins closer Brandon Ketzler. Did this move complete the Nats bullpen?
It strengthened it. I'm interested to see with bringing Sean Kelly back, then bringing back Colter Glover. With the three additions, and then also what's the guy?
Who are you talking about?
Emery, I forgot his name. The left-handed pitcher. It strengthens his bullpen. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of fans and observers of the team thought that they needed to go out and get a shutdown ninth inning guy, which realistically just wasn't out there. You had the opportunity of free agency, but you weren't able to get an Aroldis Chapman. You weren't able to get a Kelly Jansen. You had Mark Melancon last year who pitched very well, but this year Melancon doesn't look like the guy he was last year after the acquisition. So you went out and you did what you was best. You didn't mortgage the future by giving up any of your top five prospects. You got a guy that you can rent for the second half of the season. Well, not even second half. It's more like, you know, they already 100 games plus.
After the All-Star
break. Yeah, 100 games. They've already played 100 games plus.
I was happy with Ryan Madsen. You know
I thought that was a great pickup.
So the fact that you were able to get Kinsler is just that's just icing on the cake for me. So I'm thinking the Nationals, as we said before the show, are ready for the World Series. They're ready to go.
I think they – and then also a move that no one's really talking about is the addition of Howie Kendricks to the bench. I think that was a great – I think that was a great move.
And that's a prime to go to the World Series.
I think they are too.
And I'm loving it.
Me too. You can jump on like the bandwagon now.
Exactly.
You can jump on the bandwagon now, or you can stay off of it when it happens. I'm talking to you.
With me?
Specifically.
I'm talking to you. That's what's on that
like
TI.
I'm talking to you. You're a firm believer in the Dodgers.
Oh, the Dodgers are definitely still the best team in baseball. But
he's a Nationals hater.
No, I'm not. I root for the Nationals.
I love it.
I love Gio Gonzalez. I root for the Nationals.
It's BS because whenever they match up against the Orioles, he always puts some slick stuff. You know what? When the Ravens play the Redskins, it's not a rivalry, right?
Think about it.
The Orioles play the Nationals, he always got something to say.
But one, the Orioles
we own these boys.
We do own them. We lead the series. But see, just because when the Orioles play the Nationals, I'm anti-Nats Nationals. Doesn't mean I don't root for the Nationals.
No, but it's not one of those series where we have to talk trash. But you made it out to be
that. I do, because I'm a dirty dude.
While you in the basement, you know, we going to celebrate.
What you mean the basement? It's not the basement.
They're not even in the wild card.
They are in the wild card. Actually, that's another. That's
the race. Are they a wild card team right now?
At this point in time, no.
Exactly, that's what I'm talking about.
You didn't say that. You made it sound
they're in the race.
Yeah,
for the
exactly.
Wild card.
Exactly.
That's awesome.
Yeah, exactly.
They had a one game playoff. They get knocked out again, possibly.
Possibly, and the Nats can implode. But we're not going to talk about that.
it all depends on the pitch.
Let's be positive. Man. I'm trying to be positive right now with the Nationals, man. You trying to bring me?
No,
this
Will did that. Will said you can jump on the bandwagon.
I'm not going to jump on the bandwagon.
I just said I was enjoying the Nationals season.
But I do think.
Their current acquisitions, I'm loving it.
Yeah, I think their bullpen is great for them. I think this, you know, from part of the season when they even getting this big lead in the NL East because the bullpen wasn't reliable. And now, to me, with Sean Doolittle, Ryan Madsen, and now Kinsler, they're in prime position to definitely do some damage. Like I said before, I think they're better than the Cubs.
Don't sleep on Sean Kelly and Cody Glover. Either.
For those of you who didn't like Mike Rizzo, you didn't like Mike Rizzo before, you should like
always. I think Mike Rizzo is one of the best general managers in baseball. Period, easily.
He's not like Theo Epstein or nothing like that.
Well, I mean, you do it differently.
I mean, he's definitely top.
Look at the talent this team has brought in offensively.
Name some.
Anthony Rendon is a homegrown player.
Okay.
All right. You got Bryce Harper, which obviously he's a top five,
but I don't agree with that.
Bryce Harper, Ryan Zimmerman. Even Murphy had a good postseason.
Great acquisition.
A good postseason. A hot postseason. You wasn't going to think he's going to be a lot of teams didn't think he's going to be consistent like this.
Yeah, then you had the eye to bring in Trey Turner.
He brought in Trey Turner at trade. Look, and even Michael Taylor
two years ago, I said, Michael A. Taylor could be a star. He just needs to play consistently.
Brian Goodwin is playing good.
Thank you. Y'all took the bait. I'm loving this. Y'all making a case for Mike Rizzo because I like Mike Rizzo.
But if
you listen to Sports Talk Radio on Instagram, you know Mike Rizzo was not a very liked individual
because
of the Learners Association.
Yeah.
And to me, that's two different roles, obviously.
You're even bringing in like Matt Wieters on the cheap to be your catcher. They just did a lot of smart things baseball wise. And even in the past,
when no one thought that it was capable, you went out and got Max Scherzer.
Yes.
You didn't like that signing.
You did not, Wally.
For that much money, because I like Strasburg. I think that I like Strasburg as an ace. It's like, I like Strasburg.
I didn't like Denard Span. That was one of the moves I didn't personally like. When you have Bryce Harper.
I mean, think about it. Bringing in Gio, brought in Gio for Oakland. I think a lot of people too, they don't talk about Gio enough. I mean, because obviously he had a couple bad years with the Nationals anyway. But you forget that Gio was not just an ace. He was like a freaking master ace in Oakland. And then you bring that, you have Gio. So now with this season, you have Gio, You have Strauss, if he gets healthy, he comes off the if he gets off the DL. You got Scherzer. You're hoping, obviously, you're hoping that Tanner Roark is consistent. This team is deep and deadly, and three of your starters are guys that can pitch up to the seventh inning. And then now your bullpen is set up to where you can do damage. And then add on to that, you're an offensive juggernaut. That's the thing. There's not even that much pressure.
That's why you should like the Nationals to win the World Series.
That's why they're ready to go to the World Series.
I think they're in a great position to make the World Series. That's not the argument. I just said the Dodgers are better. That's my argument. I think they're to be real with you, I think they're better than the Cubs. I think because the Cubs pitching is good, it's good, right? It's not good enough to beat the Nats. But and the Nats have the pitching staff to shut down the Cubs.
A couple weeks ago, we talked about the reason why the Dodgers were better, and it was because of the bullpen. Yeah. Now, according to what we're saying, according to what we're seeing, the bullpen appears to be shored up, right?
Yeah.
For a playoff run. So, to me, that puts them right up there with the Dodgers. The Dodgers are the hottest team right now, but again,
they've been hot forever.
They have been hot forever. But again, I go back to the Orioles, 98, wire to wire, number one, yeah. AL East, and look what happened. Armando Benitez, I'll never forget it. Cleveland Indians knocked him out. So it's all about what happened.
I'll do you one better. Seattle Mariners.
I think that's the better one.
Games.
It's like there are a lot of teams we can say that way, but we can say the Cubs last year. They were hot from wire to wire and they won the World Series. I mean, it just depends on how your team is constructed. Like, I think the Dodgers are constructed and the Nats are constructed in a way where if you look at it in all phases, They're tough. Like the Orioles, you mentioned the Orioles in 98, right? That team was based on the home run. So if they didn't hit home runs, they weren't effective, and their pitching staff wasn't as good as other than Mike Mussina. And other than Mike Mussina, he was the most dominant pitcher. Look at the Nationals. Look at the Dodgers. Great pitching staffs, mm-hmm. right? Great offenses,
yes.
right? Great and good relievers. That is, they are stacked teams. So I agree, like the Nats are like ready to make it to the World Series. I'm just saying that I think the Dodgers are slightly better right now.
Okay, I'm not gonna go further. I mean, you mentioned the Cubs. Actually, the Cubs are an exception to the rule because historically the Cubs would also implode in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Similar to the Nationals as well. So I guess my argument is not very good at this point, but
the argument's fine. No, your argument's good. I get your argument.
Speaking of the Cubs, you know that they gave the guy, Steve Bartman, they gave him a ring.
Yeah, gave him a ring, I know.
I think that was great.
I think so too.
That was a kind gesture because he's been ridiculed around that.
He didn't mess up the church's money, though.
You can't blame that one play on him.
You can't say that if Moses Alou makes that catch that they go to the World Series.
I kind of think so.
Nah, you can't.
You can't.
I kind of think so.
You can't.
If I was a Chicago Cubs fan, I could.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. When it comes to fans aren't rational.
They're irrational.
Yeah.
I'm an irrational.
Much like, yeah, you're highly irrational.
I'm highly irrational. But look, fanatic.
Yeah.
Fanatic.
Fan is short for fanatic.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you got to draw a line somewhere, though. Like, enjoy your life.
What you mean?
The thing is, you, I'm talking about in general. But hopefully, we'll show our level of fandom when the Nets go to the World Series, including Wally, who just said, "I love the Nets."
I do love the Nets. I think that you'd be surprised the players I root for the Nets. Like I root for.
I also see your comments on social media. When they struggle, you let the world know.
No, I don't. Actually, no. Truth be told, if you looked at my comments recently,
I can't keep up with you.
Exactly,
social media, but I keep up just enough to see that.
Look, exactly.
Even our production notes, like we'll talk about the slumping Nets, stuff like that. You put that
where's the slumping Nets?
No, when they were slumping.
Yeah, do.
I would do the same thing with the Orioles if Ray would let me. Should be told Ray trying to keep
how,
to make me.
What do I have to do with you coming on the break? Anyway,
we'll tell you how to make that up. Real do say real things.
We're not even talking about the Orioles.
We are, though.
They're not in the DMV.
We are now. It's the next topic. Only because you came up. Ray was like, he came back and was like, we don't even talk about the Orioles and they suck. I was like, all right. In my mind, I was like, I got to put them on the show just like once.
I mean, I can't even talk about the Orioles. I don't watch the Orioles unless they're playing the Yankees.
I watch the Orioles, though. I can talk.
You don't
about
watch it. Anybody on Madison 1.
No, it's like the Nets.
I know. We had a debate about who should be on what. That's what I'm referring. You don't remember?
We did have that.
Stop
debate.
Eating those cookies, man.
And on that note, let's go to break.
When we come back, break. We'll talk about the Baltimore Orioles. Okay, right? Is that fair? Is that cool?
I thought they were Subway cookies.
You listen to the Urban Sports.
Make you feel like you're Subway.
You dig?
Deuces. I got loyalty inside my DNA.
peace, got war and peace inside my DNA. I got power, poison, pain, and joy inside my DNA. I got hustle, though, ambition, flow inside my DNA. I was born like this, and sworn like this, immaculate conception. I transform like this, perform like this, what shouts you a new weapon. I don't contemplate, I meditate, then off your head. This that put the kids to bed, this that I got realness. I just kill shit, cause it's in my DNA. I got millions, I got riches building in my DNA. I got dark, I got evil that rot inside my DNA. I got off, I got troublesome heart inside my DNA. I just win again, then win again like Wimbledon, I serve. Yeah, that's him again, the sound, the engine in is like a bird. You see fireworks and Corvette tire skirt, the boulevard. I know how you work, I know just who you are. See, use a show on most probably switch inside your DNA. Problem is, all that sucker shit inside your DNA. Daddy probably snitch, heritage inside your DNA. Backbone don't exist, burn on side a jellyfish, I gauge. See my pedigree, most definitely don't tolerate the front. Shit I've been through probably offend you, this is Barla's oldest son. I know murder, conviction, burners, boosters, burglars, ballers, dead. Redemption, scholars, fathers, dead. With kids and I wish I was fed. Forgiveness, yeah. Soldier's DNA, born inside the beast. My expertise checked out in second grade. When I was 9, on sale motel, we didn't have nowhere to stay. At 29, I've done so well, hit cartwheel in my estate. And I'm gon' shine like I'm supposed to. Antisocial, extrovert, and excellent mean an extrovert. And absentness, what the f*** you heard? And passiveness, never struck my nerve.
You're listening to the Urban Sports Team, Wally, Ray, Will T. The Baltimore Orioles, we're driving up 295, depending on which way you go to Baltimore, to discuss more baseball.
Yep, okay, up sure. 295 from where we are.
Did I say down 295?
No, you say right.
Wally always says going down.
I always say down.
Wally's a little directionally challenged. That's all. Baltimore Orioles. In baseball, I guess when you're playing so many games, you're known to have – periods where you're not playing very well. The Orioles, I think they've struggled a little bit longer than you should during a baseball season, MLB season. But they did acquire pitcher Jeremy Hellickson. Is that how you pronounce his name?
Hellickson. You said it right.
Hellickson.
Close enough. Hellickson.
Yes. Hellickson.
Yeah.
Okay.
Enough.
I'm sorry. I struggled with that name. And Tim Beckham. Do the Orioles have a realistic chance to make the postseason, you think?
No.
Yes, they do.
No.
Yes, they do. They do. I even will acknowledge that.
You have you have the Yankees who look like they're about to run away with the AL East. Then you have Boston. Boston's a very solid team. Teams on very solid footing.
But you play them, that's the thing.
Yeah, you do play them. You got an opportunity, right? But if we go through the lineup of Boston's talent and we go through the Orioles' talent, I think that Boston has superior talent than the Orioles.
I love what we're
think that's
trolls.
Fair.
I love
that's
it.
Fair. Am I being fair?
I wish we were.
They have a hot hitter and judge. Yeah, that they have a hot hitter and judge.
That's no, I'm talking about. I'm not even talking about the Yankees. The Yankees are going to run away with
it. You talking Boston?
Yes, I'm talking about Boston.
Boston got more talent than Yankees for real.
Those of you who know my other career, right?
Yeah, I mean, Boston is talented.
Boston's talented.
Yeah, I would knock that.
No, go ahead.
No. I try to jump in. Y'all can continue this discussion. I just want to get – when we get back to the Orioles, I wonder – because in my other career, I work out in Baltimore. And people think the Orioles, including their manager, is not mentally tough.
Cheap? They think they're cheap. They think the manager is cheap.
They just
I'm not manager. I'm sorry, the owner. You said they think Buck is not mentally tough?
They think mental toughness is the problem. The Orioles are the type that can lose.
Well, no, I
they feel like if they blow a lead, they're going to go on a losing streak. That's kind of the feel I get.
I think this team doesn't have adequate pitching. Adequate pitching. They have a great closer, a good closer in Zach Britton, but I don't think they have adequate pitching. And then historically, this team hasn't hit home runs at the rate that it had the previous two or three seasons.
Well, they're still they're
playing
still,
at Cam and
at Camden Yards.
Camden Yards.
Well, they're still up there in the league in homers.
I think Nelson Cruz was big on that one year.
Yeah,
you know?
The bullpen is still efficient. Still one of the better bullpens in baseball. The starting pitch is horrible. I mean, that's to be flat. And Will is right. The starting pitching is flat out horrible. The issue is, for most of the season, when they went on that losing streak, is that they're so predicated on the home run that when they don't hit home runs, they can be shut down easily. But Right now, I like the trade of Beckham because Beckham brings another guy who has good speed, good power. And, you know, J.J. Hardy, the current shortstop who's on the 60-day DL, to me is losing a step. And I think Tim Beckham, a former first-round pick, is somebody that's good for him. And Jeremy Hellickson was an ace in Tampa Bay back in the day, and now he can help out this pitching staff, which was terrible. So anybody added to this pitching staff is better. I actually thought they should have been sellers in the beginning, but the race, they're still not too far away in the wild card, and even in the East with the Yankees, they're only 7 games behind the Yankees on the loss side, so they're not that far from the Yankees. They get in the series, they have an opportunity, so they have a chance to beat the Yankees. The Yankees haven't been as consistent, you know, throughout, but I do like the trade the Yankees got with getting Sonny Day. I think that to me, I mean, Sonny Gray, that to me makes the Yankees tough, but offensively they can have issues. I mean, Frazier, who they got in the trade from the White Sox, strikes out like every other play. Judge, I ain't gonna lie, he really to me stands out. If he can play at this level, then yeah, I agree that, I mean, consistently to the end of this season, they can win the division off that alone.
Okay. I mean, look, I think the Yankees are going to run away with the division. The Astros, I'm not quite sold on the Astros yet. I'm not sold on Houston. I think that the Yankees have a pretty good opportunity to get back to the World Series for the first time since, 2008, 2009?
I'm just hearing that Dylan Bundy's about to be done for the season.
He just got hurt today?
I just heard they're about to shut him down for the season.
He was pitching tonight.
I just read that.
Something must have just happened, man. It must have just happened. He was pitching tonight. He was up 2-0, unless something just happened.
There goes your season, Wally.
Who, Dylan?
Yeah.
If they shut him down, that's fine. Because, I mean, he wasn't
tired. I already told you, brother. I'll save you a seat. You can't sit in the front with me and Ray. We pretty much.
So what?
That's just speculation. I'm sorry.
I was
about to say. But the fan.
Go ahead.
No, I'm not gonna take the bait.
You can't sit in the front with me and Ray on the bandwagon. We might save you a seat by the bathroom.
I would love to go to an over the game, you guys, to cover it or its fans.
Say what?
I love Kenmyas, but I like falafel that served at
The falafel
served at.
See, Dylan Bundy's pitching right now. Look at him. Dylan Bundy.
I'm just telling you what I read. They might shut him down after this.
It's a possibility. I wouldn't be surprised.
They need to shut Jimenez down, for real.
He pitched good yesterday. I don't like him either, but he pitched well yesterday. I'm not going to. He did. He, every time I complain about Jimenez, he has a good outing.
Oh, against the Cubs, you complain about him.
Oh, he's horrible. He's a trash. He's a trash. Anyway, it's about time for break. When we get back from break, Adrian Broner had another loss. It's his career as a prize fighter over. We'll discuss that after a break. Listen to the Urban Sports thing.
For ages.
You did.
Deuces.
Come on, man. And with the local DBC news, LL Cool J with a triumphant comeback. For a solo. But tonight, don't call it a comeback. I've been here for years. I'm rocking my pants. What's up with the fear? Making the tears rain down like a monsoon. Listen to the bass go boom, explosion. Competition, I'm towering, wreck his shots. When I drop these lyrics that'll make you
You're listening to Urban Sports Scene with Will T. Ray and myself, Wally. On Saturday, Mikey Garcia moved up to junior welterweight to defeat Adrian Broner. Most of the judges had it like 116
to 112. Two judges had it 116 to 112. One judge had it 117 to 111.
I think he was impressive for that being his first fight, fighting at 140.
Mikey Garcia?
Yeah, Garcia. First fight at 140. That's impressive to me. I just want to say, because you're the boxing guy. I watched the fight. The one thing I didn't like about Broner, his comments, post-fight comments, was that Garcia ran from him. I felt like Garcia brought the fight, and he was blocking a lot, if you ask me.
Well, yeah. If you saw the fight, Mikey Garcia definitely brought the fight to Adrian Broner. Yeah. Adrian Broner was reluctant to throw punches except in certain spots. Right. I think when Broner did throw, he was relatively effective. But Mikey Garcia, it just was went from 0 to 60 from the opening ring of the bell. He brought the fight to Adrian Broner, and this is Adrian Broner's third loss against a high level of competition. So people are going to start to wonder if Adrian Broner is there longevity to his career, because we know him for the antics, right?
Yeah. Brush my hair.
Yeah, people know him from acting similar to Floyd Mayweather, but the difference was Floyd Mayweather, whenever he stepped up in the level of competition, so did his skill level, so did his game, and he went out and he won. Adrian Broner hasn't done that. He lost to Sean Porter and lost to Marcos Maidana at 147. Then you thought, okay, he dropped down to 140, coming against a smaller guy, Mikey Garcia. You thought that this would be I'm not going to say an easy win, but a win for him. But that's not what happened.
I just want to share my opinion real quick. Whenever boxers shake their head constantly or smile, usually that means they got caught.
Yeah.
And he did that throughout the entire fight. Every time he got hit, he's shaking his head, he's talking. I'm like, come on, fight. Because to me, he looked like he was just in great shape. Because the question was asked, do you still want to fight at 140? He said, yeah, look at me. And I'm like, yes, look at you. You came in this fight, you look good, but you didn't back it up. You didn't bring the fight as I feel like you should, especially doing that much talking.
Well, he still does a shoulder roll like Floyd, right?
Yeah, he does. He does.
How
I mean, even though
how come his doesn't work, though?
Well, no. Towards the end of the fight, if you notice, his foot was more square towards Mikey Garcia, so he wasn't putting himself in a position to roll, to use his shoulder to roll. I'm disappointed because I thought I don't know if people know it or not, but his last few fights, Adrian Broner trained in D.C. to prepare himself for the last I think three fights. Mm-hmm. This time he went to Colorado, got away from everything, got away from home. I thought that he showed up when he was on the scale and he weighed in at 148 and I think in a third pound. I was like, oh, this dude is ready for this fight.
Yeah.
He showed up way below the 140. So that means he put in a lot of road work. His stamina is going to be right, but. And I expected him. I thought, he coming in better shape. I thought that he would throw more punches and be far more aggressive.
Exactly what I said.
And that didn't happen. Now, he fought a somewhat smart. He was waiting to counter off of Mikey Garcia, but Mikey Garcia never gave him the opportunity. Mikey Garcia didn't throw just one punch like Adrian Broner did. Mikey Garcia threw combinations, which made it hard for him to counter off of that. The interesting thing to me is, at this point, where does Mikey Garcia go? Does he stay at 140? Does he go back down to does he go back down to 130? Or does he go up to 147? There's some attractive fights for him at
147.
He said he would go up to 147 to fight Keith Thurman.
Ooh.
I think that would be a fan favorite fight. Two action fighters. Now, can Mikey Garcia, will his power transfer to 147? Yeah. That's the question. I don't know if that can happen, but I just know if he goes up to 147 and he fights Keith Thurman and you build that fight up the right way with the PBC network, Premier Boxing Championship Network and, you know, putting those guys on the same card. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe that fight's in on Showtime at the end of the middle of next year. I think it'd be definitely an interesting fight.
So is for Adrian Broner, is his career as a prize fighter over?
I mean, as a prize fighter, when you say prize fighter, that's someone who gets paid to fight.
Well, you know what I mean? Like a main
well,
event.
Well, is it a top level
boxer? You know what I mean? Like a,
no, I do. Will he go to the level that a lot of us predict to be a pay-per-view boxer, someone who brings in a big gate and brings in huge pay-per-view numbers? He has the God-given talent and ability to. It's just that will he make the necessary changes within himself and potentially in his corner and in his fighting style? That's left to be seen. But if you ask me right now, no. Just because he hasn't, whenever he's gotten the opportunity, you know what, at this point, who he reminds me a lot of? Zab Judah.
Yeah, I said the same thing. Yeah,
When Zab Judah stepped up to a certain level of competition,
Totally agree.
To A-level fighters, Zab Judah left you wanting for more. Even sometimes against maybe A-minus or B-level fighters, he didn't bring his best stuff.
On Facebook, my man Dejan, said he needs to switch trainers. His style can't be a top fighter. Should he switch up on trainers?
Well, him switching up trainers doesn't. The problem is he didn't throw punches. He didn't throw punches. The problem against Marcos Maidana and Sean Porter were they were able to rough him up because they were bigger than him, right? And he wasn't able to sustain an attack on the inside. And he didn't use his speed as he should have. This fight, you were the bigger fighter, but you just didn't throw punches. And you weren't able to dictate the pace of the fight. So maybe a change in his corner may be something he has to examine.
On Facebook, George stated he's done as a top contender to him. he said, I didn't even think he was that bad in the fight, but Garcia was far too good.
So he did acknowledge that. Broner acknowledged after the fight, you know, I lost to the superior fighter on this night. He said, but I'll bounce back. But he said he didn't hurt me, though.
I think, there's another fight, interesting fight. Well, I will say this about Adrian Broner. He doesn't shy away from a challenge, right? You can, whatever you want to say about him and all his antics, you can say he doesn't, you know, when he gets in with the top level of competition, he doesn't bring his A, or he doesn't step up to that level, but he doesn't shy away from a fight.
No, he's a punk out.
A one fight that can be interested for him and a guy who's coming off of a loss, him versus Danny Garcia.
Yeah, that's a good fight for him.
That'll definitely be a fight if both of those guys want that fight.
Can you see that going down?
Absolutely. I think if Adrian Broner gets back in the ring and he gets another win under his belt, and Danny Garcia, depending on what Garcia wants to do, it'll be a fight that'll be entertaining.
That's cool, man. Danny Garcia and Adrian Broner,
they're friends. I don't know if the fight would happen because they're such close friends, but
see what I do with that?
You know. Yeah, I see what you're trying to do. So we'll get out of this. We'll get out of this segment, and when we come back, we'll discuss what's beef, Shaq versus LeVar Ball on the Urban Sports Scene.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
The Commission, Uncle Paulie, P. Diddy, Caesar Leo, De Janeiro, Charlie Baltimore, Iceberg Slim, The Most Shady, Frankie Baby. We here.
Do you know what beef is? Do you
we
know
ain't
what
going
beef
nowhere.
Is? Ask yourself. Do you know what beef is?
Check out this bizarre rapper style used by me. The V.I.G. I put my key, you put your key in. Money will be seeing. We'll reach the floor of ceiling. Check it. My calico bin cop. This rap, Alfred Hitchcock. Drop top notch. Player hating gon' stop. This instant. Rappers too persistent. Quick to spit. Biggie name on shit. Make my name taste like eggs when you speak it. See me in the street, your jewelry, you can keep it. That be our little secret, see me. Be that is, I that is, gee whiz. Sick of us, I'm feeling my big. Hope they know my news. Gutterful, kidnap kids. I'm in they, throw them over the bridge. That's how it is, my shit is laid out. What? That beef, that shit is played out. Y'all got the goal. All
all I make is one phone call. All y'all disappear by tomorrow. All your guns is borrowed. I don't feel sorrow. Actually, your man passed the gap to me. Now check this. What's beef? Beef is when you need two cats to go to sleep. Beef is when your moms ain't safe up in the streets. Beef is when I see you. Guaranteed to be in ICU. One more time. What's beef? Beef is when you make your enemies start your G. Beef is when you roll no less than 30 deep. Is when I see you, guaranteed to be your ICU. Check it, I done smoked with the best of them, shot at the rest of them. Was about 100 or more, maybe less of them. Got my rocks off. That from the brook just be wildin' on you, just be styling on you. And I tried to warn you, but your eyes screwed up. Now I cleared them shots with hits. You on the flip up, pardon my French, but sometimes I get kinda peeved at these weak MCs with these supreme ball of life. Lyrics, I call them like I see them G. Y'all singing sound like me. Y'all was grimy in the early 90s, far behind me. It ain't hard to find me. Number one with the Booyaka. Give me the Remy and the Chronic. Ain't no telling what I do to ya. It's obvious the game's new to ya. Take them ends you make and spend them on the tutor, huh? One shot, I'm through with ya. Beef. Beef is when you need two gas to go to sleep. Beef is when your moms ain't safe up in the streets. Beef is when I see you. Guaranteed to be in ICU. One more time, what's beef? Beef is when you make your enemies start your cheat. Beef is when you roll no less than 30 deep. Beef is when I see you. Guaranteed to be in ICU. There'll be nothing but smooth sailing. When I spit shots, now your crew's bailing. All I got is heat and tough talk for you.
Mellow against him and Shaq with.
Like me. You ain't like me, but you like me. You a punk. I've been with many people, connecting people.
Dudes talking loud, I don't understand. Walk around like they the true big ball of jam. How you think that? I'm about to spit facts. I walk in Reebok in 92, I came out with them shacks. I've been doing this a long time. When you was averaging 2 points, riding a pine. You see my t-shirts, you see my feet work. Fall a brand, that was me first. How many parades did I give them LA streets? How many rings with Kobe? See, you thought we had beef. How many accolades? How many ceremonies? I had whatever I want, like Tony. You beat me? That's a bunch of baloney. You think you mailman? You ain't even Jeff Maloney. When did you play, huh? What year? Oh yeah, you played for Dallas or Eric Dampier. Listen here, they call me Steph Harden. I make the same salary as Steph and James Harden. 200 plus, 248. You do the math, man. Damn, my life is great. You wanna battle these? You better have endurance. Before you crash, man, get that general insurance. Or get some icy hot, rub it on your back. Before you break that, wriggle around with Shaq. Sit down, man, you be doing the most. You know your ass is barbecue chicken in the post. First you can beat Mike, then you can beat me. Wake that ass up, you having a dream. And when you wake up, apologize. And bow down to my Staples Center statue hanging off the side of the building. Excuse me, arena, I feel like Martin with this flow. Damn, Gina. You've been caught up in a rapture. And when you watch his old play, look up in the Raptors. You'll see Magic Johnson. You'll see Jerry West. You'll see Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Damn, he was the best. Keep looking, man. I know you see this. Number 34 next to Gail Goodrich. Big Daddy Kane. No, half-stepping. I'm more like Will Smith. I am legend. Penny love me. Kobe hate me. D-Wade ain't tell me Pat Riley was gonna trade me. That ain't fade me. Nothing fade me. Jerry Maguire with this flow. Pay me. The fit ball of brand trust. I am that. I hope you get the message by telephone or fax. Two more things I got to say. You did a great job. I love how your sons play. and Lil Mellow too. Attitude hella cool, jumper wet, wet like two shots in a pool.
Hot fire, Shaq. Hot fire. I spit hot fire. I spit hot fire by Shaquille O'Neal.
Shaquille O'Neal. Still don't plan on listening to it.
Man, you should have been listening to this thing, man. Shaq, man, spitting that stuff, that knowledge. That knowledge, son.
Yeah, okay. I'll let him spit knowledge and I don't know.
You just tuned it out, but you go from JaVale McGee to LeVar Ball. Come on, bro. Like, for real. I don't think this is really that noteworthy, but it's hilarious, though.
It is, man.
It's for entertainment purposes.
Look, man, LeVar Ball, is he's building his brand. This, actually, truth be told, this helps his brand, though.
Even today, Michael Jordan came out and said that would beat LeVar Ball one-legged.
Yeah.
So LeVar Ball is winning. He's doing everything. Think about it. He doesn't have, to my knowledge, he doesn't have a PR team, doesn't have a marketing team.
Don't need one.
Doesn't need one. His mouth,
he's a one-man show.
You let people like us talk about him, then you let ESPN, then you let other sports
outlets. I want him to do well.
I don't understand all the hate. I understand, there's some things I don't agree with. Like, when it comes to women and him saying the whole stay in your lane thing.
But
when it came to the woman referee, I didn't necessarily
agree. Yeah, that ain't like that.
I didn't agree with his treatment of handling that situation.
Yeah, I ain't like that.
Now, the young lady that was on the Colin Cowherd show, I understood what he was doing.
Yeah, about the
same. And I know why he said that to her. The things he said to her.
Yeah.
So I understood that whenever it comes to, I'm just gonna be real. When it comes to a big black man and a attractive white woman, and he raises his temper or voice, it comes off as aggressive and it makes it seem like he's attacking her. I get it. So I understand why he said stay in the lane. He wouldn't engage her. Mm. I get that. I have no problem with them. I think. And we discussed this during the breaks. I think that one of the things why people get so upset with LeVar Ball is I think the way he acts brings out certain insecurities in other people. Other people want to have that much bravado, braggadocious. They want to be outspoken, but they don't.
Mm-hmm.
They remain humble. And I think a lot of people, if given the opportunity and didn't care about the repercussions, a lot of people would be like that. He chooses to be like that. And,
Do you guys personally like his style of going about promoting his sons, who are just happen to be three great basketball players at this stage of their careers?
I mean, a lot of people think that they're – well, let me answer the question. No, I don't have a problem with it. I don't have a problem with it for the simple fact that if anyone should exploit you and make money off of you, it should be your parents.
I guess it depends on – the situation. Is that okay? It's situational. Like, he's in a position where he can be this arrogant, this cocky, this this loquacious, this loudmouth.
Not really. But go ahead.
Reason why I ask that is because we have our president who is very similar. Says what he wants, doesn't care what people think. I'm gonna do me. He can disrespect Megyn Kelly. He can disrespect women in general. But he's gonna be him. He's gonna do what he does, and he's gonna win. He won the election by a landslide. Mm-hmm. But when LeVar, and many people appreciate, the fact that this is what you get. But when LeVar Ball does it, it's a different type of situation. He's not the leader of the country. So,
Country and he's black.
Is it okay if he does? If it's okay if LeVar Ball does it, and it's not okay if Donald Trump does it?
Here's the difference. Donald Trump sits in the most powerful chair in the land.
That's what I'm saying. So it's situational, then.
Yeah,
it's situational. He said when Donald Trump was just a billionaire doing whatever I didn't care.
Mm-hmm.
But Donald Trump sits in the most powerful seat in the land. He represents this country, and he represents everything this country is built on and the image of this country.
Mm-hmm.
LeVar Ball, I don't agree with everything he does. I like that he's a huge part of his life. I think for a long time, people have had problems with or there was a certain stereotype that African-American men weren't involved in their children's life. Now they're the African-American male who's involved in his children's life and is a huge part and speaks for his children. Now people have a problem. So it's kind of damned if you do, damned if you don't.
I think many people are annoyed by him, because he doesn't play basketball. And he's not good at it. I could see if he was good. Did you see the tapes that surfaced at him playing like the Y? He's horrible.
But yeah, I get it. No, so I get it.
But he's winning though. He's on WWE.
He's winning.
So you can't be mad. I'm happy for him as a businessman. But yeah, it's like me talking about something I can't do. It's annoying. It's very annoying. So people allow that to get to them and they post comments, but he's winning when you respond to him as well.
Absolutely. Any attention, I mean, like Jerry Jones says, any attention is good attention.
And totally agree. And we're going to wrap the show up on that note.
Okay.
There you go. And then anybody want to say anything else before I wrap this up?
I just want to say that once again, I was highly disappointed in how Power ended. The whole Ghost and Kanan dynamic, you know, you spent the season and a half building up the anticipation for it to just fizzled out like that.
You sound like Jim Jones when Jay-Z announced that I Declare Peace concert. Man. He was like, man, people pissed off.
All I want to say is Kanan was the real hero of the show.
Anyway, okay, man, we can leave it on that.
Tyreek should have got murked.
I wanted to at least see Tyreek get a finger cut off or something cut off. Like something. He left scot-free.
Hey, we've been
total immunity.
You've been listening to Urban Sports Say.
For ages.
You did.
Deuces.
Hey, Mega, lead us out, big homie.